is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint, the Midweek Report.
Well, it gets more interesting, I would say, by the day, but it's actually by the hour. And sometimes it's even parts of hours, friends, but the news cycle is coming fast. There's a lot at stake here, very clearly. And, you know, the big story that everybody is clearly talking about is the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. Have you been seeing the replacement to NAFTA? Everybody said it could not be done. Just a week ago, it looked like this was going to be dead on arrival here. And with Canada, Prime Minister Trudeau was not happy. A relationship has gotten a little cool there with Trump and Trudeau. And that has changed now. There is an official agreement called the USMCA. We will talk about the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement replacing NAFTA. Big deal, people. Big deal. There's a lot of tension also going on with China. I don't know if you've been following some of this story with some of our military vessels that have come in within feet. And then we've got the trade deal going on. It's some things we need to pay attention to happening with China. And then, of course, what do you think about this, I call it the love story sequel here, maybe North Korea and Kim and Trump. Trump says we fell in love, and boy, I'll tell you, that's an interesting story. And Mike Pompeo, by the way, is headed out to see Kim in North Korea. Should be interesting. I want you to think about this a moment. False accusations, the impact on men and women, and the damage and risk to men everywhere. We have a panel discussion. We're talking all kinds of political persuasions. Really interesting conversation there. I myself am looking forward to that. Let's get to the top of the show here, the top stories of the week, friends. Ilana Friedman is here. She's a strategic counterterrorism intelligence analyst. Ilana trained in Israel, and she focuses on the impact of terrorism and its threat to America and the West. She's a columnist, and a very good one at that, right here at America Out Loud, friends. George McClellan, he's a historian and a political analyst. His professional career spans 43 years in law enforcement and the U.S. Naval Investigative Service. George is one of our beloved columnists as well. You'll find all his write-ins and Ilana both right at AmericaOutLoud.com. All right, let's talk about Operation Ford. Many are calling it Operation Ford, and this has become very interesting. Right now, all eyes are waiting on this FBI report. Does it make a difference, Ilana?
I'm not sure. I think if the FBI comes in, it only took them 2 days to make the report. So it may be that they found nothing. And if they say that, I think the vote will probably go for Kavanaugh, which it should, and that will be the end of it. But getting to the elevator, this was an ambush. And the demonstrators came from, they weren't just citizens who had been sexually assaulted, as they say. They accosted him in the elevator, and they screamed at him. And they said, look at me when I'm talking to you, when he tried to look away. I mean, this is a thing, they treated him like a five-year-old. They came from not-for-profit organizations that are connected to George Soros, including the Center of Popular Democracy, whatever that means, because this is certainly nothing democratic, and another organization called Demand Justice. And these organizations have received, well, one has received $1.5 million from George Soros in the last 2 years, and the other has received almost $1 million. And the point of this is that one of the women in the elevator with Flake was a woman named Ana Maria Arquila, and she's the group's co-executive director. And then there were videos of harassing McConnell in the airport. This is coordinated. We all saw the video of demonstrators being paid outside the government buildings in Washington. I want to just quote Mitch McConnell, who said, this is not about persuasion, it's about intimidation.
Yeah. So listen to everything we're talking about right now. When Ilana says, well, and when the FBI report comes in, if that's put to rest and there's nothing new, then the senators will vote and that'll be put to rest. See, I don't think so. I think the damage done here, I don't really agree with that point, because I think the damage done here, and I think Ilana would probably agree with that too, is quite serious. And it's going to have long-term effects on our country. But there's another point to this, George. At this point, whether there is anything or not in that report, I'm not sure it's going to move the meter at all, because what they're talking about now is his temperament. So now that they have pissed the judge off, I mean, let's call it as it is, people. They have entirely irritated him and got under his skin. But like, if I said that you raped some people and were involved with gang rapes, George, back in your youth, and you were doing all kinds of salacious things and really being a horrific human being, and you were innocent of all these charges, they were totally ludicrous. I mean, how would you react, George, I wonder?
Well, not being the candidate for any office, I would probably challenge the person right there. And if he didn't put up, he'd be laying on the damn floor with his jaw broken. It's as simple as that. And followed by a letter, a stern letter from my attorney, based on his claims that besmirched my reputation. But you talk about, you mentioned Jeff Flake. That's very interesting in the whole context of this investigation. You know, the roadway of life is absolutely littered with flat squirrels. Now, Jeff Flake might not be a flat squirrel, but he makes a great imitation of one. Apparently, he has a squirrel's decision-making ability, because yielding to the siren sounds of bipartisanship, he rolled right over with the Democrats on the Kavanaugh vote, and they immediately flattened him right out.
Yeah,
Paul Jeff Flake is now, and will be for a long time, the object of ridicule, distrust, mirth, amusement, and snickering laughter. That's his, and that's where the Democrats are going too, because already the case against Kavanaugh from every quarter is collapsing, particularly that Julia Swetnick. She has an old boyfriend, a guy named Kettner, who was the weatherman on Channel 7 in Washington, I think that's WJLA. He was the weatherman. He used to date her, and he says perfectly that she liked to engage in menage a trois, and he was part of that. And so, here we go. Are they going to interview him? He gave them already a signed statement, not under warning, but a signed statement. If it's accepted, it's... everything that applies to perjury goes with it.
George, I want to stay with you a moment on one point before we move on here. You have an interesting column up, and I want to address it right now, because you have some eye-opening points in there I did not know. It's just going live today here on America Out Loud. It's entitled, But Wait, That's Not All, There's More to Miss Ford. And in that particular article, that op-ed of yours, you talk about some of the interesting relationships of Ford. Now, the way you lay it out here was shocking to me, quite frankly, George. I did not know a lot of this. I don't think most listeners know this. Take just a quick minute, please, and just walk us through the points. I want people to hear how insane this is with what you discovered with Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. Would you explain that, please?
In the body of that essay, you'll see it's a rumor that has come up, and the rumors made it to the internet. Now, things on the internet are not necessarily true, but what is significant about this, it has gone nowhere further than one or two sites. So is there some truth to it, even a monicum of truth? I don't know, but Dr. Ford, as a professor of psychology at Palo Alto, California, and also involved at Stanford, is associated with a CIA program to identify people who want to be CIA agents. Now, if she's a rabid Soros Democrat, isn't that a frightening thought to fill our agency up with potential leftists? But anyway, Dianne Feinstein, to make the matter even more complicated, her husband has been a member of the Board of Regents for the University of California since 2002. Now, is it a coincidence that this woman has been surfaced as a potential witness, or is there something more to it? Now, the rumor goes on. Blasey, or Ford's brother, Ralph Blasey III, was once, if he's not still, an employee of international law firm Baker Hostetler. Oh, what did Baker Hostetler do? They created the Fusion GPS company that wrote the fake dossier used by the FBI.
Wow.
Now, let me add this. Apparently, Blasey III, Ralph III, left that company before that Fusion GPS report was written. So I make no claims or suggest no rumors that he was involved. But isn't that a terrible coincidence? Now, the firm, Baker Hostetler, is co-located, I read, in a building occupied by three CIA front companies, a cleaning company called the Red Coats, and the Admiral Security Services, a security firm that provides guards, a subsidiary of Red Coats, and then a company called Data Watch. Are they CIA fronts or not? And if they are, they probably will disappear pretty soon if this thing comes up. But, I mean, that's what we're looking at.
Wow.
That kind of rumor. Now, is that rumor any more or any less valid than Dr. Blasey Ford's complaints against Kavanaugh that happened 36 years ago?
I want to clarify something, George, that I'm confused on. When you say rumor, when you talk about these different things, are these not facts?
Well, they could be facts. They're presented as facts, but I don't know them because I can't confirm them.
I see.
So I've got to say, hey, it's a rumor.
That's why you're calling it that, I see. But we understand these to be true statements, obviously. So,
I can't make it clear.
There are an enormous amount of coincidences here. I mean, the coincidences are, they're miraculous. I mean, truly, truly miraculous, Ilana. Shouldn't this raise suspicions all the way across the political aisles?
It absolutely should. In fact, there's another story out about Blasey Ford, again, about the fact that she lied when she was under oath because she said she had never coached anybody in a lie detector test. And an old boyfriend shows up and writes a letter that says, yes, she did. She coached this person who was going to be taking a lie detector test. So there are all these little pieces, bits and pieces coming together. This isn't politics, Malcolm.
Right.
This is war.
Well, this is serious business is what this is. This is serious, serious business. I mean, we're living in some unbelievably historical times. I mean, there's no question about it, people. I mean, I can't even put it in the words for you. Pay attention to what's going on is all I'm saying. And just watch where everything is at. Whatever your political stripe is, pay attention. There's a lot at stake here. Listen, on the good news front, they said it couldn't be done. We knew NAFTA was in trouble. I mean, NAFTA goes back to the early 80s. It was outdated by all intent and purposes. I mean, it had run its course. It was never a good agreement for the United States. We know that. It's called the USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement. What's the bottom line on this, Ilana? What do you think about it?
Well, I think it's an excellent move. I was very pleased with the way he handled it, which was to keep it all a secret. Everybody was saying Canada will never happen. They've walked away from the table, and, you know, we're in big trouble, and if we can't do it with Canada, how can we do it with China? And then all of a sudden, one evening, we hear tomorrow morning we'll have an announcement. And sure enough, the announcement was we have a trade agreement with Canada. I think the trade agreement helps us a lot. It helps our farmers by curbing tariffs and low quotas. It helps our car industry because before, 40% of Canadian cars could be made in China and still be considered North American.
Mm-hmm.
And now that ratio is down to, or that percentage is down to 25%. So, you know, the parts that they bring in to make their cars are going to be more Canadian and more North American, rather, and less Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the fact that we have made this deal with both Canada and Mexico puts us in a very strong position.
Well, here's the thing.
North American trade.
He disrupted the entire trade imbalance. We're talking not just one country or one agreement, George. We're talking across the board with everybody around the world. I mean, this takes, I got to tell you, my friend, this takes pretty big kahunas here to be able to come in no matter who you are. I mean, whatever Marvel character you are, when you're coming in to try to do that, that's pretty daring. It's pretty daring. Now, again, a lot of these trade agreements were a mess. But the significance of this USMCA agreement is, I think, cannot be understated, because this will give some leverage now, don't you think, George, when he goes to deal with China, because China is the big deal here, and this was a big deal toward that end, is it not?
Well, of course it is. Trudeau, he's a weakling politically. I mean, he got the job because he's... His father was the prime minister or whatever they call it for Canada, and he's a lovely man. But when you met somebody like Trump and you wanted to pursue Canada's socialist policies, you met somebody like Trump and suddenly realized that he's going to be out in the snow he came to the table. He's feeling the pressure, Trudeau is, but he's generally now, since that agreement, get positive feedback because the trade deal doesn't really kill Canada, it really helps them.
Exactly.
But the trade deal's mainly for dairy, and that's very important to the Canadians because they've been selling their milk, dairy products to us for years at really high prices, and pharmaceuticals.
Right.
In 10 years, the Canadians now have an exclusive, almost an exclusive right for 10 years to produce drugs that we buy, and then in 10 years they can go generic. It's these types of things that most of us don't realize or understand.
Talking about that real quickly, I want to talk to you before I get to North Korea. I want to touch on China. Did you see that this Chinese warship came within, like they're saying, 45 yards of a U.S. vessel in the South China Seas? And this came to one of our Navy ships, George, in the seas again. And they had to, our U.S. destroyer had to do some, I guess you'd call it evasive maneuvering to avoid the ship. I mean, this is, you see the pictures of it in the video. It's striking. I mean, that's some pretty heavy stuff. I mean, they could have collided quite easily out there in the South China Seas. Real quickly, what's behind that? Anything at all, George, that you're... I mean, I'm just wondering if there's a military and an economic connection here, because I think we've kind of pissed the Chinese off at this point, no?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a military connection. It's a trade war. We're in a trade war. In a trade war, the country with the largest industrial base will be more prone to fracture. That is China. The U.S. economy is now, we were no longer tethered by the Smoot-Hawley era. You remember that Smoot-Hawley? That's where China finds itself now, attached to a Smoot-Hawley kind of a deal. The Chinese military is simply making threatening gestures. It's a small item in the big scheme of political maneuvering. Remember, the Chinese plan ahead for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Americans in the West, we only look at what happens today.
That's exactly it. That's exactly
it. Do not look at tomorrow. And that's where we have to look at the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
China has benefited mostly from global free trade, the help by technology transfers.
Yeah.
China is developing competing military systems within its own framework, and it was born because of the rising gross domestic product, their growing GDP, and our complacency.
Yeah. Well, something's going to give here for sure. I think the connection of these two, I've been paying a lot of attention to, Ilana. I need to talk to you. I've only got a couple of moments left. The last story I want to discuss, Ilana, which is North Korea. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is headed to meet Kim Jong-un on Sunday, this week now, which, remember, now this is after the previous meeting was canceled because of the lack of progress. It seems like things have picked up again. But it's kind of interesting now when you watch the PR again coming on here, Ilana. President Trump comes out and says about the North Korean chairman, he says, "We fell in love." And of course, the crowd at one of his campaign things just loved that kind of thing. And then Kim gives Moon two North Korean puppies. So talking about the softer side of a politician, I guess, Ilana, is interesting. I don't think we ever thought we'd see Kim Jong-un in this role of giving North Korean puppies to the South Korean leader and the United States president saying we fell in love. I got to tell you what, if you played this video right now today, if you had played this a year or two ago, nobody would believe you, Ilana.
Well, he also said he wrote me beautiful letters and we fell in love. You know, this is a cold-blooded murderer that we're talking about, not Trump. We're talking about Kim, and he murdered his own relatives in the most horrible ways. This is a man who is just at his core pure evil. So whatever he says, whatever he does, I think you have to understand where it's coming from. He has some kind of motive. I think he thinks now it's a good idea to cozy up to the United States and get the benefit of a friendship with them and with North Korea, not have to worry about this nuclear stuff anymore. Whatever's driving him, I would stay suspicious of him from beginning to end, and I don't think Trump's a fool. I think he's saying what he thinks his audience wants to believe, but deep down I think he knows who he's with whom he is dealing.
Yeah. Ilana, I'm so glad you were talking about Chairman Kim there and not President Trump when you have those adjectives just a moment ago. Thank God.
No, definitely not. I am a big fan of President Trump.
I was afraid where...
I think he's doing an outstanding job.
I was afraid where you were going for just a moment there. Big, big thank you. Tremendous thank you to Ilana Friedman, George McClellan. Well, friends, up next, we have a panel discussion. All levels of political persuasion from all over the nation, both men and women, in fact. And we're going to talk about a couple of things here. The accusations, the impact on men and women in this sexual game of what's going on with Kavanaugh, and the damage and risk to men. How lasting will it be? Stay right there as Viewpoint rolls on.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
In many ways, I want you to look at this as a teachable moment. Everything that's going, we're living in historical times, as I said earlier in the show to you. These are historical times, but this is also a very teachable moment. And when I say teachable moment, to our families, to our businesses, and to this country, to this nation, what do we want with the next generation? What kind of a country do we want to leave? Everybody's watching what's happening here. Now, specifically, I'm talking about a lot of these sexual allegations back and forth, and let me set the tone here for what we'll do next. Now, we're going to talk about the impact of this to society as a whole and to our nation. Now, I believe what's happening with the Supreme Court justice is one piece of this, but it's not the whole piece, friends. The Me Too movement has been going on for some time now. You have to bring it back again. We all know one of the turning points was Harvey Weinstein. But you've had a lot of other factors that have happened since then, both in the political circles, media circles, entertainment circles. I mean, they've been falling like the House of Cards. And he fell as well, Spacey. They've all fell. I mean, it's been nonstop. So let's pick it up there. And let me introduce you to our power panel now, and we'll get started here. Please welcome Ava Armstrong is here. Ava is a political commentator, radio personality, and a producer here at America Out Loud, friends. She's an author, 15 books to her credit, and she talks about patriotism, our military, our law enforcement, and all of that. Terry Beatley is here. Terry is president of Hosea Initiative. She's an author and host of What If We've Been Wrong on America Out Loud. Gail Murphy, also known, a.k.a. the Celebritizer. Gail is a media expert. She's a showbiz reporter, a Hollywood correspondent, speaker. Dennis Santiago is here. Dennis is a global risk and financial analyst. As you know, he covers things strategic warfare, asymmetric warfare, and you hear his voice a lot on the network. He's a columnist as well here on America Out Loud. And then you've got, of course, yours truly, Malcolm Out Loud. So we have both men and women represented here. We have all sides of political persuasions here. This is by design, intentional, so we can have like a real conversation, people. That's the whole concept of what we do next year. So, all right, here we go. No sector of really society has been removed from this problem we're talking about right now, people. Nobody has been removed from this problem of sexual abuse, sexual allegations. But there's some damage to this I want to talk to you about today. I want to put a phrase out there, and I want to go right around. Let's do this as a round table. I get everybody's open and comment here, and just take each one of you take 15 seconds and finish this thought. When I say every woman should be heard because ... I want to start, Dennis, with you, if you don't mind. Put you right on the spot, buddy. So here's the question I want to ask everybody. Every woman every woman should be heard because...
Because every woman has a nightmare in her past that needs to be heard.
So you're saying nobody is unscathed from this, you're saying?
I say that just living life creates nightmares in your past that you live with, and you pick them up as you go through life. And you got to respect the fact that that's there. By the way, men also have their nightmares.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. Abra, I want to go to you next. Every woman should be heard because?
Because every woman matters.
Okay.
I mean, every woman's opinion matters. Every woman's thought process matters. You know, we're all human beings.
Okay. All right. Gail, let me go to you next. Every woman should be heard because?
Well, I don't think every woman should be heard. I think every person should be heard because everyone has a story, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we are Americans, and this is America, and this is the First Amendment. And there is no reason to, we're at 52% of the population. There's no reason to pluck us out and say we get special favors.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Terry, let's ask you the same thing. Every woman should be heard because?
Every man should be heard. And that's my reason why every woman should be heard, because every man should be heard.
All right.
So like Gail, it's an equal opportunity thing here.
Okay. All right. When we hear the words her truth, we hear a lot her truth. This is her truth. Now, this could be false accusations. It could be I'm suggesting this happened in this particular case of Supreme Court Kavanaugh. We'll use this as kind of a model as we talk about this. So, Terry, let me stay with you on that point, please. So when they say her truth, and even though they're going back 36, so what does her truth mean? What are we looking for when we say her truth? And what about those that are lying? What's her truth then mean?
My first thought on this is what we've got to get at is what is the truth? It's not a matter of what is her truth or what is his truth. What is the truth? You know, we have to be testifying to the truth. And everybody who holds up their hand, granted, they're not doing that in that Senate hearing room, as far as I know, they're not holding up their hands swearing on a Bible that they're telling the truth. I mean, look at what her job is. I mean, it's all about, you know, CIA agents and mind control and all this kind of stuff. So good Lord, who knows what she thinks her truth is. But if that's how people look at this, is what is her truth versus what is his truth, that's my point, is we've got to get at what is the truth.
Mm-hmm,
it's
right.
I have no sympathy for just because she's a woman and she puts forth this story that, as far as I'm concerned, she can't back it up. We know there are enemies at work to divide this country every way it can be divided. 6 months ago, it was black versus white. What's hot right now, it's man versus woman. And that there is a macro history of why this is going on.
Interesting.
And we'll maybe get to...
Well, you know, Dennis, I mean, you and I talk a lot about, you talk a lot about this on the show, in the program as well, but it's about the divide in our nation. I like what Terry was just kind of saying about the people of power use things to divide people, to divide all of us. And that which just happens to be the hot button right now happens to be gender, men and women. And we are sort of divided in that regard. But when we talk about her truth, Dennis, and versus have any evidence, because there's a lot of talk about credible evidence. Is there any corroboration on this or not? What do you think?
It's not her truth that really matters to people. It's each individual who hears that story's interpretation of what they think the truth is. And that is so fractured in this society right now that the version of truth that people hear from the same words coming out of somebody's mouth can go all over the place. It used to be there was some cohesiveness in society that would look for the truth.
Right.
That cohesiveness is gone. And the observation on what's happening to the United States is we hate each other because we look in the mirror and we don't like what we see in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you have to speak for yourself. I love everybody, Dennis. So you'll have to say yourself. Gail, I want to segue right to you. When Dennis brings up some very good points there. There are a lot of people who say she should be believed because she is a woman. She should be believed because it is her truth. She should be believed regardless of whether there's any evidence whatsoever, whether she's credible or not. And there are those who said, well, she looked like she was sensitive or crying a little bit, so she must be credible or must be true. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, I have not heard that at all. I thought she was amazingly composed. She was emotional. Of course she was. This happened to her. Obviously, it's incredibly traumatic. I want to just talk about something here. I have 2 points I want to make. What is the difference between I believe her and what is her truth?
I believe her and what is her truth. Ava, what do you think to that?
Well, I think we're very mixed up in a lot of feminist lingo, okay? Her truth is a feminist term that it only means what that woman believes happened to her. Now, my opinion really doesn't matter, okay? When I'm making an accusation that is that sinister, that big, that it can actually destroy a man's life, I damn well better have facts, okay? So to me, truth equals facts that you can back up with, like you said, corroboration and all kinds of other, you know, fact points. You know, the woman 36 years ago, she can't remember. I mean, maybe she should be in therapy. Maybe she did have some incident that happened to her. But for her to sit there and say this is her truth and we're supposed to all believe it.
See, that's when you said, well, this really happened to her. I think you made some comment like you believe this really happened to her. But you see, my point is that really is her truth, Gail, because there is no evidence that says anything. We have seen yet nothing, no corroboration whatsoever from anybody, not a piece of evidence, not a shred of anything, just her truth, Gail. So what do you say to that?
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. That was a dog and pony show that we saw on television. That's why I really believe that we need an FBI investigation. Okay. That said, the FBI is being muscled. 40 people have yet to be contacted. The FBI, according to their own people, they want to get to the bottom of this. Mm-hmm. But so get to the bottom of this. Don't be constrained.
Gail, I think if we polled all of us on this call today, on this panel discussion, and everybody listening, what they did in high school, if there's something they were embarrassed for, humiliated, would never want to be divulged, I think about, I would imagine, 100%. We've all done some stupid stuff in life because we're human beings. So here's the thing. What kind of a standard, Gail, should we hold people to? And I'm talking now, Gail, think about this now. Executives, politicians, judges, entertainers. What kind of standards should we go back to high school and go through their records and see what they've done?
I think it depends. If they had burned down two houses, yeah. Okay. If they had burned down two houses, if they had kidnapped somebody in high school.
What if they were having fun in the bedroom and they were having a little sex game in the bedroom? Never really had sex, but you know, kids do stupid things. And so she pinned him, he pinned her. Funny, funny, funny. And then they left the party. What would happen then? Is that serious?
Well, if that was my daughter, I wouldn't find that funny.
Yeah, but this ain't your daughter. We're talking.
I wouldn't find that okay.
All right.
I wouldn't find that okay. But here's the thing. The Me Too movement isn't even a year old. I think it'll be a year old on the 6th. It's the anniversary, 1 year anniversary of the Me Too movement. And any time you have something that's as disruptive as this, it swings to the left, it swings to the right, it swings to the left, it swings to the right. There is no protocol yet. Maybe in 5 years from now, we'll have a process in place that will be much wiser than all of us in terms of how to determine these allegations. But I think they all should be heard.
All right, let me ask you this.
She has not been called to talk to the FBI.
Yeah, they're not. You're talking about Ms. Ford? You're talking about Ms. Ford? Yeah, they're
you
not.
You know why?
I understand they're not calling her again. That they've already got all her evidence under oath. There's no reason to talk to her again. The FBI says that now, Gail. In other words, she's already been the star of the show. She's been center stage. She has enough attention, I think. And I think they kind of are moving on to try to corroborate her claims. You understand? That's what's supposed to be in the report. You're already thinking, Gail, the report's not going to be accurate, right?
Well, I think it will be lacking.
I think the FBI should, regardless of whether or not their preliminary investigation is finished up in a week, you know, personally, I think there should be somebody at the FBI that follows up on this. And if they find out that she's lying, they ought to arrest the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of talk about that. Again, we're talking false accusations, people. We're talking about the damage it does to anybody. Listen, this could be the damage to your son, your brother, your uncle, your husband, I mean, your father. This could be the damage to any man. And we're going to talk about that more in this next segment. Before we do that, I want to go right around the round table. You've got to take 15 seconds each. Here's what I want to ask you. Back to the standard that we should hold people to. Back to that standard. Ava, let me ask you this. Right now we have a hush fund in Washington, D.C. I think it's $17, $18, probably $20 million now, have been paid out. And here's the thing I've discovered about Washington, D.C. and politicians. To all of you, I say this. Democrats and Republicans both like to have sex. Now, I know that's going to be revolutionary, that statement I make to you all. You know that. But, you know, Democrats and Republicans in on the Hill, they all have, what I'm saying is, they all have their finger into this hush fund. This isn't a partisan problem, Ava. This is a criminality problem of people doing. So sexual, we'd have to, do you realize if we held them all to the same standard, Ava, we would not have to go back to high school. We'd probably just have to go back to last week. And do you know how many people would still be standing in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I do. Very few. I find them to be so sanctimonious and so self-righteous. And it's just really hideous to me. Some of the things that they said to Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, they're playing God, Ava. Ava, they're playing God in a case where they are not even in a position to come close to playing God.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, it just blew me away to sit there and listen to people that I know have problems in their past.
Honey, they have enough baggage. I mean, you'd be able to line up airplanes, both United and Delta. The whole fleet would be full of baggage.
Oh, you know, Cory Booker comes to mind.
Well,
but I mean, I could go on.
They
and
all
on,
do.
You
let's move. Yeah, I don't want to get into specifics here. But Terry, I want to go to you on this. So
I think Brett Kavanaugh has set us a beautiful example of the standard of what we should be looking for in future justices. You know, one thing I would like to draw Gail's attention to and listeners' attention to is that man had already been through, what was it, five or six FBI
investigations.
He's been
through six. This is the seventh.
Without anything. What's happening right now in our country are the people who want the power, the people who represent the very group, and I'll call a spade, because we've had the attack, the National Organization of Women, founded by communists, that's all proven,
okay,
that the way they were going to take down our country was to divide it. So Kavanaugh, going back to the standard, he sets the example, Malcolm, of someone who's honorable, of someone who's brave.
Should we, Terry, go back to high school? Is it fair that we go? I mean, I'm just simply asking a simple question to all of you. How far do we go back to say that you're a loser?
I say look at their professional career since the time they've been an adult, okay? Since the time they've been, 21 or older. I mean, because I can look back at the things I did, including what I did back in college. I was trying to become a justice, I wouldn't want that service.
Well, that's exactly what I said just moments ago, Terry. And Dennis, to that point, to Terry's point here a moment, what I want people to understand right now, and I want for everybody on the panel to understand, our brains are not fully developed until we're 23 years old. Let's make a fact a fact. We are very much in a development stage when we're 16, 17, 15, 19. I mean, we're doing stupid stuff because we're not fully developed, which is why kids will be kids. So back to how far do we go back, Dennis, is what I'm asking. And I point out this hush fund, not to be a smart guy here in Washington, but if we held all these politicians to the same standard we're holding Judge Brett Kavanaugh to, I'm telling you right now, Dennis Santiago, who would be left? Who would be the man standing, please? Tell me who that is.
I would. I'm such a boring goody-good in high school, it's not even funny, Malcolm. So, yeah, there are people that would pass the standard ultimately. You really have to look. I had a fight with my wife about, she's going, I am either empathetic or analytical, right? And so I'm looking at this whole thing going on in the Judiciary Committee, and I'm being very analytical about it. She gets mad at me because she says I'm not being empathetic enough. And I go like, well, you know, like I'm a human being that has both held a friend in my arms to let her cry 2 days after she was raped. Okay, I've done that. I've seen that kind of pain up close, and And I'm also a guy that understands that there are such things in this world as nightmares dressed like daydreams.
How many people would be standing, Gail, if we brought them back to the protocol again, what you did in high school, college, or your first job when you were a very young person? How many people would left to be standing?
None.
Well, I want to say something about sexual assault because you had spoken about that. Sexual assault is not about sex. It's about violence and it's about power. So this has nothing to do with high school horseplay. And I thought he was self-destructing in this way. I thought he lied, but he didn't lie about the big things. Well, he did lie about the big things, especially when it has to do with Manny Miranda and the stolen emails. But he lied about his drinking. He lied about his calendars. He lied about stupid stuff. It's like, why are you doing that? This is your life on the line. Why are you setting up so many boxes that don't have answers to them?
It's funny how, like, we can look at something and come away with entirely different versions of it. Like Gail was just saying, well, he lied about this, lied about that. Other people would say Ford lied about this, 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 and this. But again, it really depends upon what your truth is. I mean, I asked that question earlier, her truth, your truth, my truth. They always say there's three truths, right, people? Your truth, their truth, and the real truth? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Think about that a moment. We'll be back with more Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Okay, we are back, friends. We're having a really interesting discussion here, really about, it's a lot of things, about sexual allegations, about the political divide, it's about Me Too, it's about the people who represent us, it's about, in some ways, the Kavanaugh case, which has polarized the nation, clearly. It was the most watched hearings ever. Everybody, I mean, it was on every television, it seemed to be. Everybody was interested to see what was going to happen. Who was this Miss Ford? What would she say? And how would the judge, how would he answer this back? Well, the judge was outraged. What happened next is they started talking about his temperament. And that really is what happened here. Let's get back to our power discussion here, please. Ava Armstrong is here, Terry Beatley, Gail Murphy, Dennis Santiago. There's an interesting quote I want to bring to everybody's attention out of Georgetown University from a professor, Dr. Christine Fair. And she says this, and I quote, "Look at this chorus of entitled white men justifying a serial rapist's arrogated entitlement. All of them deserve miserable deaths while feminists laugh as they take their last gasp. We castrate their corpse and feed them to swine." Yes.
That's an angry woman.
Yeah, that's a nightmare, not even dressed as a daydream.
I don't even know who this woman is. I would have really, really checked her out before I read that on the air. Seriously, Malcolm.
This is a professor at a Catholic university, a Jesuit Catholic university, Georgetown.
There you go. The Catholics, they got blood all over their hands with all the kids they have sex with.
Right, so,
How far we've fallen.
So this was I don't want to go down the road of Catholics. This was really said from Dr. Christine Fair. This is a real professor. This is somebody who's at Georgetown University, Gail. This isn't made up. This is all over the news.
She's disgusting.
Well,
This is not political. Looking at this politically. I am trying to look at this in terms of that this never happens to anyone again and that we get the right guy.
All right, let me ask you this. There's a lot of discussion about old white guys. They've become the underclass now, old white guys. Really, it's a bad deal. It's a bad rap. If you're an old white guy, I feel bad for you. Luckily, I'm not old, so I don't qualify. Again, this quote comes out. It's a real quote. I mean, this is what she said. She was, by the way, suspended temporarily, very minor suspension. She got a minor suspension from the, I'm sure the university will have her back quickly. I don't know how long it is. It's maybe a few days, a little slap on the hand. But that's a pretty egregious statement to make, Terry.
You think?
It's a very egregious statement to make, but I'm about history and how, what happened in the past to get us to where we are now.
Okay.
And maybe appropriate, maybe not. But I mean, my answer to that is when you go back and you look at the root of radical feminism, I'm talking about the root, and the root is communism. That happened back in 1969 when they founded the National Organization of Women. And what they chanted, this is all documented, what they chanted in how they were going to create that cultural revolution, it was to destroy the family. To destroy the family, you have to, quote, destroy the American patriarch. How do you do it? By taking away his power. How are we going to do that? We're going to spread the gospel of promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, abortion, and homosexuality. What we're reaping right now is the rotten fruit of sexual politics.
Dennis, is there truth to what Terry's saying right now? Do you agree with any of that, Dennis?
Not really. I mean, you know, because I grew up in the same era, and what I got out of that era was a positive push from other people that really had to do with valuing the flowering of true equality. I mean, you know, I grew up basically, I don't see a difference in power between men and women as being a big deal in my life. I treat everybody equally. And that was a thing there too. I think what we're seeing now is a latter-day resurgence of angry feminism, which did exist, but it wasn't that big a deal back then. Okay. But it's come back out in full force, and I think it's very destructive.
All right. Aver, I want to ask you something here. Let's talk about the men out there, the damage. I'm talking about damage control now. So let's talk about the fact that this movement, as Gail said, is just becoming about a year old. There's been a lot of people have fallen. A lot of people in high, powerful positions have fallen from the Me Too movement. Again, some of it is real. Some of it is very real. Some of it maybe not be real. But then there are people that many people are saying, I don't know what y'all think, but was this used? Is the movement being used to bring Kavanaugh down? In other words, was this prime right now to bring the judge down because it was all they kind of had? They couldn't go after his record specifically, so they had to go after, well, use that movement to say there were sexual abuses. And there's a lot of fallout from that, but talk to me about that, and talk to me about the damage to our sons, our fathers, our cousins, our brothers.
Well, when feminism is used as a weapon against men, this is what you're watching on display, and the Me Too movement can, you know, have her truth and be automatically believed, no matter what story I put on Twitter about my Me Too experience, people will believe this. I mean, this is insanity, in my opinion, okay? I am very concerned about the future of our young men and how they will comport themselves. I would actually issue a warning to men at this moment, saying that be very careful about your social media. Be very careful how you present yourself, especially as a young person. Because like you said, you do a lot of things when you're a young person that you're not thinking about the future.
Well, they're doing that now. The kids on social media now are as reckless as can be, Ava. They just put all kinds of stuff out there.
I have publicly announced on Twitter that I am now an advocate for men. Okay. I feel so very strongly. I am an anti-feminist. All right.
So you started another movement called He Too, is that correct?
Yep. There are guys who have contacted me on Twitter. They have been falsely accused, and they tell me their story. And I mean, it's really heartbreaking. My husband, I'll just speak, you know, for a moment personally, on a personal level, he goes into homes of people to repair systems, okay? And oftentimes there are women that are home alone, and he's actually going to wear a body cam when he goes to work. Because he said anybody could accuse anybody of this stuff. And who knows? Who really? He said, I would want to have proof that, you know, I walked into this person's house and they spoke to me, and I want it recorded. He said, I'm not going to mess around with.
So your best advice to men is to be careful then in the future. I mean, there's what else can we do, Ava, right? That's what you're saying.
I think guys, yeah, I'm telling guys, mm-hmm. they had better really, mm-hmm. really pay attention to this.
Right, okay.
Because your reputation is everything. You can't mm-hmm. get your reputation
well,
back.
There are a lot of stats right now that this is impacting corporate America in a big way. Let me give you an example here. There are a lot of men executives now who are making sure there's a third person in the room. I mean, this is documented now. They will no longer have a female executive in there as a one-on-one interaction. Now, I come from the boardroom myself, and I had a lot of women, powerful women, in key executive roles around me. That didn't impact me or my life. I was never in those positions. But that is a real problem today. So that's kind of how we've evolved.
The overarching thing that will come from this, it's hurting men, yes, but they can protect themselves in the manner in which I just spoke. This is going to hurt women. Unbelievably bad for women, because nobody is going to want to hire a woman. They're going to be suspect of women that might make these false claims. There's going to be a real backlash against women. So I just want to throw that out there.
I would agree with that.
Just this last couple of days here, President Trump was on the campaign trail again, and he, speaking to one of his crowds, he came out and spoke very aggressively against Christine Blasey Ford. We're seeing backlash today. A lot of actually Republican politicians and Democrats alike are saying the president should not have said anything. In fact, some of the deciding votes that would have to vote for Kavanaugh, including Collins, Senator Collins, has come out and really slapped the president's hand and said, you should not have done this, to speak out about anybody who's had sexual abuse allegations. So basically, the audience was laughing when the president ran through a list of what he described as holes in her testimony, her performance. How did you get home? I don't remember, he said at this rally. He was in South Haven. How did you get there? I don't remember. Where's the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was that? I don't remember. I don't know. And then while he was imitating her, he said, but I had one beer. That's the only thing I remember, is I had one beer. Should the president have done that, Gail?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. It's, if this is a pending case, that's inappropriate. That is inappropriate. But he's on the stump, and he's a very entertaining guy. I told you I've interviewed him. He's a very entertaining guy in person, and he's very warm, and he really knows how to work with a crowd. He's an impresario.
Okay.
All right. So,
all right. So let me ask you, Dennis, back to that. So was the president right or wrong to come out in that speech and talk about this, this person?
I believe he was right. And this has gone far beyond sensitivity to an individual. This is now an issue for the nation to ponder.
Oh, so you think it was fair game for him to do that?
Yes,
wow.
I think it is fair game.
Wow,
at this point.
Interesting, and, interesting. You know, Let me ask you this, Dennis. The Republican Party has had trouble attracting smart, educated women, has been not one of their strong suits. I mean, really and truly. But is it smart to be ridiculing them if they've gone through sex allegations or abuse? Is that a smart move politically, Dennis?
Politically, at this point, it activates bases. And, you know, these are just optics, technicalities. I mean, you know,
Trump doesn't need to activate his base. He needs to activate some independents and the people in the middle, or he's not going to make it.
And you know what? There are people in the independents that are these are the people that are worried about things like the Me Too movement having gone too far. And if you're going to activate the rest of the country, yeah, you have to ask these kinds of tough questions.
All right, Terry Beatley, tell me, was the president right for coming out for that and throw that on the campaign trail? Was he right or wrong?
Because of what this has devolved into, it's a carnival, it's a circus, and it's a circus of public opinion. You know, so if we were based on really trying to do things honorably, the right way, I would have said no, he shouldn't have. However, that the Democrats have turned this into a circus. Because what Gail had just described a few minutes ago about what men should be like, she was just describing Brett Kavanaugh. She just described like a 35-year adult history of Brett Kavanaugh, an impeccable reputation. But because this has just devolved into a carnival, into a circus, and I'm sure he's thinking about November 2018, a month from now.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I say go for it. Yeah, I say go for it every day.
It's become a bit of a bar fight, is what you're saying, Terry. It's become a bit of a, but the fight is in the street now, is what you're kind of saying there. Ava, should the president have done that on the campaign? Yes or no, you think?
I've been in the past critical of Trump on these types of things, but mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, mm-hmm. this has turned into the gloves are off now. The Republicans are taking the gloves off. And let me tell you something, Donald Trump represents just exactly what I'm thinking when he says these things. So I did not find it offensive at all. What he said was actually true. Mm-hmm. The few things that he said, and the people laughed, yes, because sure. this whole trial has been a joke. This whole thing has been a joke.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, come on, people.
Okay,
you know?
Well, the thing is that everybody has to remember this is not a typical president. So is it presidential for a president to do that? Probably not. I don't think you can recall a president, certainly in your lifetime or past history, people, who has done exactly that. I have one last question for everybody. I want to go right around the table here and ask you this. Just think about this. I want you to think about this question. What is the takeaway? How can this be a teachable moment for our families and for America? What's the takeaway from this? Ava, I'm going to ask you to go first.
I think the advising of young men and all men how to comport themselves in the workplace, how to be very careful not to get entrapped in this kind of a thing. It's a warning. This is a big red flag. And as for young women, feminists are making your life more difficult every day. So that's what I would say.
Okay, let's go next to Terry. Your thoughts?
Dittos on everything Ava just said. And then I would also encourage families to get their hands on the right books that teach how the women's radical feminist movement has what the real history of it is, because there are histories. What we're fighting is the fruit of the rotten history of sexual politics.
It's true.
And so I would say sit down and read the article by Mallory Millett. She's the sister of the communist Kate Millett. Go listen to America Out Loud, my interview of Mallory Millett called Hating Men, the Rotten Fruit of Sexual Politics.
Gail, let's talk about the takeaway. How can this be a teachable moment for our families and for America?
Well, I just want to go on a record saying I love white guys, I love brown guys, I love Asian guys, I love red guys. I mean, I love them all. I don't care what color they are.
There you go.
Okay, so when you first opened up, you talked about teachable moments, and I'm glad that you came back to this because I, made a little note here. I think the only one that really had a teachable message that was burning is Jeff Flake. And I think that that teachable message is slow down. Slow down. Stop slinging. Stop. Shut up. That's what the senator from Hawaii, just be quiet for a while. Let's look at this. Let's take our time. Let's be careful, because this could destroy people's lives. And that, I believe, is the teachable moment. And I think that Jeff Flake, and I'm not a fan of Jeff Flake, I am now, because I think he's doing some interesting soul searching. And I'm always interested in people that have revelations and try and change things.
Dennis Santiago, what's the takeaway? How can this be a teachable moment for our families and for America?
Value equality above everything else. Know that ugliness can come in any form, including from a woman. Learn to tell the difference between what's beautiful and what is ugly. Embrace the beautiful. Tell the ugly to go jump in a lake.
Wow. Tremendous, tremendous thank you to the panel here. Ava Armstrong, Terry Beatley, Gail Murphy, Dennis Santiago. The point of this conversation today is to give you some food for thought. And think about, again, I want you to think about our generation, the kids, the young men, the boys, and the young women, the people, the example we're setting for people. I think we all need to step back a moment and understand what kind of example are we leaving for this generation? And what kind of example are we leaving for the world, people? I think it's some real reflection. We have the internal reflection we need to all do with ourselves here. Thank you again, and as always, remember, we will deliver an honest analysis and opinions on all sides of the political line. We don't discriminate against an opinion. The main thing is we are always in search of the out loud truth.